And let's change gears. How close to that is, how close to terminal is that for the Giants playing in such a manner?
Oh, terminal's a big word, Jared. It's more than a one-off, and I think you just mentioned that before. This is becoming maybe not always that severe in regards to just kicking 3-7 goals for a game, but we're seeing more of that than we are the other side, and that's when it becomes alarming. I'm never going to get the opportunity to actually find out necessarily about their game plan with the detail, but what I continue to see when I cover the Giants is a style of football that I don't think is best suited to their playing group. And if they are to play that style of football, teams like the Sydney Swans are better at that style of football than they are. And it just doesn't make sense to me when you've got so many talented, gifted footballers, yet they play a style of football. And I don't mean this to put down it, but so many other players could play that style of football. That's not an elite brand of footy. I know contested possession and the clearances and some of the things that they do are non-negotiable. That's what you have to do to play AFL football. But they've got too many good players that don't get to show their skills. And I think that's what makes a really good coach, actually, to put players in their best position to show why they're so good at football. And I just don't see it often enough. And you mentioned that round one game. That was a ripping game against the Cats. I think it was a 29-point margin off the top of my head. And the Cats were good. The Cats weren't poor that night. It was a great game of football. But since then, they got rolled in round two against the Kangas. And then since then, there's only been glimpses of this brand of football that we think that they can play. And even some of their wins, you go back to two games ago, last week when they played the Bombers, it wasn't a pretty game of football at all. They had to work for it, and I just don't think it suits who they are. And that just doesn't make sense to me, Hutto.
Could we be overestimating their talent, or is that not?
When you refer to talent, you mean how talented they are with ball in hand, or who they are as a collective?
Well, I guess just that sort of description we normally use when we say someone's a talented player.
It's risky, isn't it? And that's why it's a really dangerous word in football, because the majority of these guys playing senior football are talented. I just think that the Giants have more of them than any other team to be that gifted with ball in hand. But, it's probably a fair assessment, because what we're seeing, as we said, more often than not, is they're not that talented. But it just leaves you scratching your head about where they were, how good they could be. And I might have ever mentioned this to Jared. I was thinking about this today, Hutto, and I was thinking, who's not playing their best football but has the most upside? And I actually thought it was probably the Giants. Mm. Like, who, if you could flick a switch and actually go back to playing your best brand of football, who has the most percentage to gain? And I think it's the Giants. But by saying that, we haven't seen it for so long. We're in the middle of August. I know there was a massive break, you know, at the start of the year, but that's a long time since you played anywhere near your best footy. A long, long time.
So next week they play West Coast. So if they cling on to a place in the eight before then, on what we're seeing, unless they can turn it around rapidly, they'll be outside the eight. Their run home is favourable. The five teams they have to play: Adelaide, Fremantle, Carlton, Melbourne, and St Kilda. So Melbourne and St Kilda are teams who will be battling for a place in the eight as well. They do still have three of the bottom teams, notwithstanding they have lost to North Melbourne and they now lost to Sydney.
Mm. So it's one thing to make finals, and we know that there's an accomplishment within that, Jared. But if they're playing anywhere near this brand of football and still make finals, they may as well not be there.
Mm.
That's a really harsh thing to say, because I don't want to
probably still be nervous playing them, having said that.
Well, you
probably shouldn't be on what we've seen.
But you also feel that if oppositions are watching this, and they all be watching Thursday night football or listening to us on the radio, there's now a blueprint of how you can beat them and just shut them down and give them absolutely nothing, because they're not aggressive enough to work it through and actually to take it off you on the other way. So
I wonder if anything will change structurally. I do wonder that, whether they'll go to a shorter forward line or just something different to what they've been doing.
I think there has to be a tipping point that you know what you're currently doing. If you just keep going back to the well over and over again with the same structure and the same players, then, you know, fool me once. But I just can't see that. Finlayson, Himmelberg, though I never really saw them isolate, and that was one thing I said, I think, at halftime. You know, get Jeremy Cameron up the ground, isolate two key forwards, see what the Sydney Swans do, ask some questions of the opposition. That never really happened. But I'd probably do that before I'd start making some changes from week to week.
So they've beaten Geelong. That's a long time ago. They've beaten Collingwood on a night they had to win.
They could easily have lost Richmond. That game, yeah. Remember.
And they could have lost to an undermanned Richmond as well.
Yeah.
And they got over the top of Essendon. They are a curiosity.